This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, we hear from Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff. We talk about a few of the big news stories from around the Inland Empire over the past week. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Ken.
This was a biggie. The state controller completed an audit of Beaumont's finances, and apparently the audit showed a lack of financial controls.
Yeah, and that's very disturbing because that means the taxpayers don't know for sure that the money that they give to their city government is being used properly. At issue is $600 million in bonds that were issued, and there isn't the proper paperwork to make sure that money was spent as the bonds were issued for on infrastructure, roads, and that sort of thing. Also, the city didn't comply with its own rules on competitive bidding, and that's disturbing because competitive bidding, the purpose is to get the best bang for the buck for the taxpayer. And the controller also pointed to the reseller's permit that the city obtained in 2008, allowing it to purchase items outside the city without paying sales tax, and then turning around and reselling them within the city so the sales tax applied to Beaumont. That's something that's just not done. You just don't see that in other cities. There was also a lack of invoices, $1 million on one contractor with no invoices to back up what the payments were for.
Now, the former city manager is no longer there. There are a bunch of new elected officials in Beaumont. Is it safe to say that they've turned a corner? They're trying to right their ship, or is there still more to come?
They have, and the controller pointed that out. I think there is only one out of the five council members who was on the council when all these decisions were being made. The city manager, as you say, he has agreed to leave. His last day is November 15th. He's actually still on leave. He's not in the office. There's an acting city manager, and she's going to suggest that the council start the formal process to hire a new city manager, a permanent city manager.
Okay. Let's talk about San Bernardino. There was an election this week, and here we are a few days after the election, and all we know is so far is that there's going to be one new council member,
but at least
we don't yet know who it's going to be.
Well, that's right. You know, three of the incumbents were not even challenged. Councilman John Valdivia, so of course he was reelected, the city attorney Gary Sines, and the city clerk Gigi Hanna. Another councilman, Henry Nickel, was comfortably reelected, as was the city treasurer. The real races that are up in the air are the 6th Ward and the 7th Ward. In the 6th Ward, Ricky Van Johnson, the incumbent, three-term incumbent, decided not to seek re-election. Four people sought that seat, and there's going to be a runoff between Bessine Littlefield Richard and Roxanne Williams. So we know there's going to be a councilwoman in that ward and an African-American woman. It is a predominantly minority ward. It traditionally has had an African-American council member. Littlefield Richard is a 36-year county employee. She works in workforce development. Roxanne Williams was a science teacher for 10 years. She's now a school district administrator, and she has been very active since the city declared its financial emergency and later bankruptcy. She's been at the council meetings urging common sense and urging the council to make cuts, and now she wants to be on that council to make those decisions.
And you mentioned Ward 7.
Yes, the incumbent, Jim Mulvihill, he was elected in the recall election 2 years ago when Wendy McCamick, the incumbent, was kicked out. Four people challenged him, and the runoff, it looks like it could be Scott Beard. He was the primary organizer of the recall. Or it could be Kim Roble. She was an unknown, but a lot of people are speaking very favorably of her. She's made a good impression on people, although she has not been involved in city government.
Speaking of San Bernardino, we are learning about a proposal to redevelop a big portion of downtown where the Carousel Mall is and the Regal Cinemas, the Harris's building, that area down there.
That's something the city's been wanting to do for years. In fact, it had a proposed buyer, ended up with the city being sued. The buyer backed out. This deal has been in the works for about a year. The city has made an exclusive negotiation agreement with AECOM and the Franson Company. The Franson Company was responsible for developing what they're calling Theater Square, for bringing Regal Cinemas in to that abandoned Cinema Star movie theater. It's really a very successful theater, brings in about 500,000 people per year. And that's kind of the linchpin of downtown, since the mall, the Carousel Mall, which was built by the city under redevelopment in 1970, has been almost completely vacant. There are 52 shops, and only about 6 or 7 are occupied right now. So there have been proposals to recreate kind of what downtown was before this big enclosed mall took up 42 acres downtown. And this developer is going to begin exploring that. The first proposal would be to develop the corner of 2nd and E with residential. And those units would be sold off to fund the rest of the development. The city is giving the developer 6 months to come up with a plan to, you know, for what they want to build and for a financing agreement. The public is going to be given an opportunity to weigh in and say what they would like to see grow up in downtown San Bernardino.
Finally, there was new testing that finds that PCBs remain at a site in Riverside that was supposedly cleaned up.
Yeah, this was a contaminated site. It's called the Ag Park, although it was only used for agricultural purposes for a couple of years. Primarily, it was a military base called Camp Anza, and there was a big sewage treatment plant there. The city took it over some years back, and a developer came and wanted to build homes there. And when he started grading, there was a puncture of one of the sewage plant digesters that was still underground, and it released this toxic sludge that it turned out had PCBs and dioxins and heavy metals like arsenic in it. The developer cleaned it up under the oversight of the Department of Toxic Substances Control, and that's a state agency that certified that the cleanup had been done. But the people who live around there in the developed neighborhood said they believe that their homes have been invaded by this toxic dust that was kicked up during the grading. And they asked the state to come back in and retest it and certify that it indeed was cleaned up. And the testing showed that there are a couple of sites with higher levels of PCBs than allowable. And so the state is going to come back in and do some retesting. The EPA is also going to do its own testing and figure out what's going on there. They are probably going to call for some additional cleanup. That much is known. But it looks like the state is saying it's still suitable for residential development.
Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken.